morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody had a blessed week. And if everyone would stand and turn over to 660, 660. Let me get myself there. Man, God is good. Amen. All the time. Amen. Amen. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there's sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there's sunshine in my soul. There is springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessings which He gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows His smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Amen. Amen. Brother Higgins, would you open our services up in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we are all thankful this morning that there can be sunshine in our soul.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing us here to your house this morning. I pray that you meet with us in a great way.
Yes.
I pray that everything that's said and done be done in a way to be pleasing to you in accordance to your perfect will. And I pray that every need that each one of us has today be met in you and our presence with you this morning. Again, we pray your will be done. We thank you for your marvelous, amazing grace.
Yes.
How sufficient it is. Mm-hmm. Meet with us now today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, let's start off with, we have some anniversaries and birthdays to celebrate this month, since this is the first week in June. Gene and Barbara aren't here, but Johnny and Velma are here.
Amen.
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 How many years, Brother Johnny?
23 years.
Amen. Amen. And Jacinta, my beautiful wife, it's her birthday's coming up at the middle of the month.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Mike Aragona, he's not here today, but Mike and Emily are members of our church, and they also have an anniversary. So let's sing happy birthday, and then we'll sing happy anniversary. Amen. Amen.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday. birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Amen. Happy anniversary to Johnny and Velma. Amen.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Amen. Amen. Let's see. There's nothing, no announcements right now that we have. Next week we'll have our regular meeting after church of all the members. And we'll update everybody then to what's going on. We do have a few things that are going on, but they're not settled yet. And so we'll let everybody know what's going on. Let's turn over to 586, and we'll sing Trust and Obey. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. That's the only thing to do. Gotta trust Him. Amen.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says He will do, where He sends He will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Amen. Do we have a scripture reading? Amen.
Good morning. It's the Lord's Day in the Lord's house. Amen. With the Lord's people.
Amen.
I'm a happy man. The book of Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am a poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Amen. Make no tarrying, O my God. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen. I come in the volume of the book. You got to read the book. You got to read the book, because if you don't read the book, then you don't know. So, read the book. Amen. Let's turn over to, let's see, let's all stand and turn over to 403, and we'll have our offering after this song. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth every. Open my heart and let me prepare
love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Amen. Amen. Brother Roger. Yes.
Continue to bless the preachers, Lord, that come
yes.
here, that, Lord, they might share your word with us. Again, we pray for our missionaries that we support throughout the world. We pray that you continue to comfort them, give them pleasures in your word, Lord, and make them witness to many, many people. We thank you so, Lord, so much for our missionaries, Lord. Again, we thank you for your love, your watch care. We thank you for shedding your blood and dying for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Johnny. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. You know, last Sunday, we celebrated those in our U.S. military. Our men and women who have put their lives on the line so that we can sit back and watch Judge Judy. People gave their lives. I know people have died in the military. But you know what? There's a greater war that's being fought. It's spiritual. And there are those who are on the front lines, who are losing their lives, getting their heads cut off for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not forget them. For without them, there'll be no United States. Please. Just take one to stand up for our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah.
My soldiers standing alone, surrounded by the enemy. By some who view the war for all, defeat it seems to be. But with a prayer upon his finger, he lifts a mighty sword, and the enemy is conquered by one soldier of the Lord. Not one lost soldier, true and faithful, marching through the battle zone, protected by the grace of God, not in his strength alone. Now though he lay in comfort, by dying possibility, one lost soldier marches forward in glorious victory.
Now the roots have been neglected at times. He's been forsaken and up to dark. He's been comrades who once was so close, had to leave him to lie. But unseen by friends and enemies, overhead an angel kneeled. He said, "Fight, love the grace of God, the soldiers going to heal." Not one lost soldier, true and faithful, marching through the battle zone. He's protected by the grace of God, not in his strength alone. Though he lay in carpet and died upon the ability, one lone soldier marching forward in glorious victory. One lone soldier truly faithful, marching through the battle zone. He's protected by the grace of God, not in his strength alone. Although he lay in carpet, back high upon the military, one lone soldier marches forward. One of those soldiers marches forward. One of those marches forward. In glorious for victory. Now victory.
Praise God. My Lord is with me. I'm going to fight for my Lord no matter what. Praise God. I'm going to stand for my Lord. Praise God.
I'm
gonna try to get some more rain.
Amen. Amen. We're blessed to have Brother Higgins with us this morning. Brother Higgins, do you have anything that you wanted to share? Our missionary to Mexico.
We inaugurated, dedicated our new auditorium 2 Sundays ago. We had 833 in attendance.
Wow. Amen.
New auditorium, but it's
amen.
God is good.
Amen. All the time. Amen.
Thank you both for
amen.
Your prayer.
Amen. Brother George, come on up. Amen.
Go to Matthew chapter 18, please stand in the honor of God's word. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. It's good to be back in the house of God, amen.
Amen.
I had a good Memorial Day weekend. I had a whole 3 days off. We were in church on Sunday, had some barbecue, and it was good, amen. Matthew chapter number 18. He's going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter number 20, and then we'll see what God has for us this morning. Matthew chapter number 18, are you there?
Amen.
Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4 says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself," whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now jump over to Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20. We see the sons of Zebedee. Look at verse 25. The mother of Zebedee. Look at verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's pray. Father, I come humbly before you this morning, asking for the filling of your Holy Spirit once again, for your congregation to hear your word, preach uncompromisingly, boldly, that we may grow and become like you. Help us in our struggles as human beings, and use this message this morning to teach us about humility. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter number 18, when this text is referred to and opened up, oftentimes most people, and I do get nervous. Those of you that are familiar with the text is about, and is the most common text that is used to deal with offenses. And oftentimes when I preach this message, right when I say Matthew chapter number 18, people begin to get nervous. And, oh no, the preacher is going to speak about offenses. We're about to get hammered down this morning, because he's going to preach about offenses, and rightfully so, because this text is probably the most appropriate text when it comes to offenses. But for the sake of textual exposition, let's look at the offenses. Slide down, and I will go through this text, this chapter, in reverse order, as opposed to going from verse 1 all the way to the end of the verse, verse 35. I will work my way up from the latter verses all the way to verse 1. Look at let's go to Luke chapter 17, first verse 1. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. The first thing about offenses. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. It is impossible but that offenses will come. There's nothing you can do sometimes to offend somebody. You need not do something to offend somebody. You need not say something to offend somebody. You need not look one way to offend somebody. The Bible says it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Go to Matthew chapter, our text, verse 7. Look at verse 7 of this text. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. See that? First thing that we learn is that offenses are unavoidable. You cannot avoid offenses. Offenses will come from every angle. Offenses just come. If you go back to Matthew chapter number 15, you'll see the source of the source of this offense. What led Jesus Christ to discuss the issue of offenses? Go to Matthew chapter number 15, verse 12 with me, just to establish a context here, and we'll get to our message. Look at what led Christ to discuss offenses In Matthew chapter number 15, you'll find him dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees who were more concerned with tradition. Verse 2 says, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they cared about tradition more than the word of God. He answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Then if you get to, when you get to verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man." Oftentimes, the most common source of offense is our mouth. That's why James deals with the tongue. If you're not careful with what we say and how we say things to people, offenses will come. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended?" The Pharisees were offended. How many of you have never been offended before? I guarantee you, from the day that you got saved, you have been offended numerous times. So in Matthew chapter number 18, Christ gives the directions of how to deal with offenses. Let's look at verse 24 to 28. "When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." The story here is a man owed, a servant owed another servant some money. But that same servant also owed the master the same. But when it came for the servant to forgive his fellow servant, he did not forgive. He says, when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, owed him, it says, 10,000 talents, 10,000. Verse 26, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." But look at verse 28. "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Comparing 100 with 10,000. The first thing we have to look at is the gravity of an offense. How grave can an offense be for you not to forgive it? How much offended are you that you cannot forgive? What sort of evil has a brother or sister, or can a brother or sister say to you that you cannot forgive? The gravity of the offense. Then we'll see the frequency in verses 21 and 22. Look at this text. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him." See, in this text, we're not dealing with the gravity of the offense, but we're dealing with the frequency of the offense. How many times can you be offended? And how many times can you offend somebody and can they still forgive you? And Peter said, "How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" He says, "Till 7 times. If my brother offends me 7 times, what's the maximum? What is the limit? When, how much can I forgive?" And Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. That's 490 times. And I believe he's not playing with numbers here. I believe he's making a point that there is no limit to the frequency of offenses. How many times? "Well, that brother, he always does this to me. He always says me this. He always calls me this. Ever since we were young, he pushed me and pushed me, and I got to the point where I can no longer forgive him. Christ says, until 70 times 7. Oof. And I tell you, not a single human being can claim that we're able to do that. I know for a fact that if you crossed me once, I might forgive you. You cross me a second time, I might still forgive you. But you cross me three times, now you cross the border, my friend. You cross the line. Amen? Amen? And that's most of us. Amen. So initially, we are gracious with one another. Oh, he probably didn't mean it. Oh, he was probably just tired and exhausted when he said it. I'll forgive him today. And then that same brother or sister will come back and say the exact same thing to you. That's just painful and hurtful, and you begin to ask yourself, should I forgive? He did the exact same thing 10 years ago. I haven't forgot about that. He's doing it again. Should I forgive? Is it 7 times? Christ says it until 70 times 7. Wow. So he dealt with the gravity of an offense. How bad an offense can be before you'll forgive it? And how frequent can an offense be before you say, no, I will not forgive? Then when you get to verses 15 and 17, look at this text. Like I said, we're going in a backwards order with this text. Verse 15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That therein is the problem in most churches and among Christians. Our inability and refusal to confront the offender. And he says, if shall he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, only then shall you take two or more. For the Bible says, in the mouth of two or more or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. You know what that is? These verses explain not the gravity of an offense, not the frequency of offense, but the policy or the procedure in dealing with an offense. How do we deal with offenses? The Bible says, first you go to that brother, you go to that sister and deal with him or her alone. Before you tell somebody else, talk to that person first in secret, in privity. But oftentimes, what do we do as Christians? Your brother so-and-so, let me tell you, I want you to pray for me. That's often the most common quotation. I need your prayer over about somebody, about brother and sister so-and-so. We are quick to bring a third party in, and yet we have not even dealt with the person that has offended us yet. You see, the consequence of that is that rumors begin in the church. And that same third party will have a fourth party and say, oh, you should pray for Brother George. He confided with me last week and he said that Brother so-and-so had offended him. And then that goes around in a circle. And then the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And before you know it, not just one person is offended in the church, but the entire church is offended. That's why there is a policy in dealing with offenses. He says, go to that brother first alone. And if he does not hear and listen, only then shall you bring a brother or a sister. And if he shall neglect to hear, the two or three of you, only then will you bring the issue to the church. There is the policy in dealing with offenses. Then go to verses 69 in reverse order once again. Verses 69, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, if it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea, I present to you the penalty of not forgiving. If you go to verse 32-35, he says, then his Lord, after that he had called him, going back to that servant, had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt. By the way, Christ forgave all. Christ forgave all. I forgive thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? You see the concept there? What he's saying, and it's applicable to the Christians, is if the master has forgiven the servant should forgive the fellow servant. And in the same token, as Christ, as the Holy God, has forgiven us, so must we forgive one another. And have compassion with one another. And be merciful with one another. And then as his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses, the penalty of offenses. So in this text, we see the gravity of an offense. We see the frequency of an offense. And then we see the policy of dealing with an offense. And then we see the penalty of not forgiving. But that's not the message. That's the context of that chapter. Here's the message. Verse 1. He says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See, that question, who is the greatest, is what plagues Christianity and mankind in general. Who is the greatest? Everybody's competing with one another. Everybody's trying to be great, greater, and comparing one with another. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They say the rat race. They call it the rat race of mankind is about achieving and getting better than the brother next to you. Improving and overcoming and being the greater person than the others. But that's the mindset of the world. See, the world says, who is the greatest in the kingdom? But in the kingdom of heaven, it is not so. See, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The condition of our heart, we want to be great, we want to be known, we want to be famous, we want riches, we want fame. That is in our nature. But God says, you want to be great? Look at verse 2. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus Christ presents a little child. Presents a little child. He says, Jesus called the little child unto him, and he sets this child in the midst of them. In the midst of who? In the midst of the disciples. In the midst of his followers. In the midst of the people who were following him. He says, herein, look upon this child, and the answer you will find about your question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He says, this little child, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, number one, except ye be converted and become as little children. See, there is not the gravity, not the frequency, not the policy, not the penalty, but the necessity in dealing with offenses is humility. What is necessary in order to deal with offenses of a brother and a sister is humility. Becoming as a child. You think about a child. What does a child have compared to an adult? Nothing. What does a child know compared to an adult? Nothing. What does a child own compared to us? Nothing. What can a child boast about? Accomplishments, degrees, cars, houses, riches, none whatsoever. And so Christ brings this child in the midst of the disciples and he says, the necessity of dealing with offenses is first, you must understand and become as a little child. Robbed and taken off all the things that you can boast about. Be like a little child. Second thing that we learn about children is that they are smaller in stature than us, signifying that humble, that lower. So that gives you the necessity in offenses is coming down, not going up. See, what do we do as Christians? What we do as Christians when one person offends us, and if and that offense is not dealt with, we counter offense. He said something to me that was mean and hurtful. I will say something back about him. Do you understand what that does? When you counter an offense with a counter offense, it's just a matter of time when that first initial offender will bring another offense. And you're going to hear about that second offense and you will have another counter offense. And it's this constant battle for greatness, of overcoming. If you talk to somebody who likes to argue, I tell you, when you come across a person who is not saved, don't argue with them. Amen. When you come across somebody who has a contrary belief, then you don't argue with them. If you're trying to win that person, the answer, the solution is not argument. The solution is mercy and grace and love. You must come down. We must come down. When a brother or a sister comes up in offenses, we must come down like a little child and place ourselves. Here's the third thing about children. Not only are they devoid of belongings, of properties, of things to boast about, not only are they lower than us, a child is vulnerable. That's why the parents are there. See, the third characteristic of a child is that they are vulnerable for a lot of things. That's why they're in the shelter of our homes. You can't leave a child alone on the streets. They will run across and they will get run over. You can't leave a child hanging inside the house by themselves up till a certain age. Why? Because they are vulnerable. But can I tell you this morning, what is necessary in dealing with offenses when a brother or sister has offended is to place yourself, and it is difficult, to make yourself vulnerable. Amen. Our human nature is to fight back. But Christ said, humble. Put yourself in a level of vulnerability. Think about that for a minute. Wait a minute, Brother George, what do you mean? He said mean things to me. You mean I should just keep taking it? Yes. Keep taking it and pray for him. The solution is not to fight back, it's not to argue back or to counter offense. That's not the solution. The solution is to lower yourself down and make yourself vulnerable. Allow yourself to be hurt. And that is the most difficult thing about offenses. Allowing ourselves to be hurt. But that's what is necessary. That's what is necessary in dealing with offenses. And I learned that when I am offended, my first instinct is not humility. My first instinct is pride. But the Bible says, actually, that's what it comes down to. The real issue is pride. We don't like being put down by other people. We don't like being demeaned and be called lower or be spoken as if we were lower than other people. But do you realize that if you look at it, and Christ says, think of it like as an opportunity to be like me. Amen. To be like this child. When an offense comes, don't counter it. But place yourself in a vulnerability and look at it as an opportunity to become like Christ. Amen. What did Christ do? Bible says he humbled himself. Amen. Let's go to let's look at this text. I cannot preach a message without uplifting Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul says to the church in Philippians, to the Philippians, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know what Paul is saying? When you receive an offense, where you are a recipient of an offense, don't look at your own, but look at others. And esteem other people better and higher than you. And he gives you why, and he gives you the example. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, that same humility, that childlike humility, was exampled in Jesus Christ. He says, who, in verse 6, Philippians chapter 2, being in the form of God, Christ is God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But look at verse 7. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Do you realize what the heavenly God has done? The God of glory, the creator of all things. Mankind, can you grasp? Church, can you grasp what the Heavenly Father has done? He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If Christ humbled himself, and if God is able to forgive, who are we? Who are we not to forgive? We'll close with this. Matthew chapter number 20. See, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Matthew chapter number 20 to close. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him, in verse 20. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one in thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. The mother wanted something desirous for his son, for her sons. Verse 22, but Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Slide down to verse 25. He says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. That's what the Gentiles do. That's what the unsaved people do. That's what the heathen do. They try to be greater than one another, but let it not be so among you, he says. He says, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, notice the contrast. Notice the paradox. Notice God's mind in comparison to our mind. He says, those that are great, if you think you are great, minister. Verse 27, if you are the chief, and if you think you are the chief, be a servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Wow. Tell me those are not the words of God. See, man cannot come up with those ideas. It's not coming from man. Man's nature is to lift up himself. Only the Word of God says things like that. Only God says things like that about us. See, the necessity in dealing with offenses is to be a minister. It's not about greatness, it is about ministering. It is not about who's higher, it's not about being chief, but it is about being a servant. The issue is humility. The issue with offenses is pride and humility. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, the Bible says, let's look at this text real quick. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Proverbs 15, verse 33, the Word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So if you know who God is, if you know who God is, if you can understand and comprehend God, by the way, we're not able to comprehend God. But if you could only comprehend God, there is instruction and wisdom. But the next phrase says, and before honor is humility. See that? Before honor is humility. Ooh, how many churches would be better off? How many believers would still be in church today? How many missionaries would be sent out, brother missionary? Oh, how many missions work in the foreign fields will be out there if every member of the body of Christ will only learn how to deal with offenses and learn to be humble. And learn humility. Not manly, not mankind's humility, but the same humility that God imposed upon himself. Every head bowed, every eye closed to close. Let's close. Has someone offended you in your Christian life? Has someone offended you? And you have not dealt with that person yet. As we stand, as the piano plays, would you stand? Keep our heads bowed as the piano plays. Has someone offended you? Forgive. But it was painful what he did to me. Forgive. But he did it over and over. Forgive. But he will do it again. Forgive. But he's nobody and I am somebody. humble. Humble. Humble yourself. The altar is open. Maybe nobody's offended you, but the other question is, have you offended someone? Have you offended someone? And you know about it, and you have not dealt with that person yet. The altar is open. The altar is open. Some people are kneeling. Some people are coming. The altar is still open. Brother Pat, can you close this prayer, sir? Amen. Amen. Amen.